CliffCentral.com.
I just want to know, you better know, you better know, you better know. I just want to know you, oh, you.
Taylor Swift with Ed Sheeran. Nice happy little song. Everything has changed. Well, we've got to try and figure out our way around what's left in our wallets by the time Praveen has dipped in. And I thought one of the best ways to do that would be to speak to Tamsin Nell, who's here with us. She's with Anchor Capital. She works with Anthea. And she actually is a business partner there. She manages the Balanced Fund. And she's exactly the person to talk to when it comes to understanding this budget. So we'll get to that in a second. Let me tell you what you can do guilt-free. You can eat at Colcacchio's Pizzeria. That's right. Guilt-free eating at its most delicious. Try Colcacchio Pizzeria's innovative range of low-carb, high-fat meals. Ben, they offer meals for those who like banting, for example. They have healthy eating habits, all that kind of thing. They've also recently expanded their offering to include 5 new dishes, including 2 delectable desserts. Colcacchio Pizzeria. They are the reason you crave pizza.
Yeah, the variety of base just alone makes them tops for me.
Ta-da, there we go. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. All right, let's get into the budget. Tamsin Nell's here. She's a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Good morning, Tamsin. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks, and you?
Good, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you as well.
Good. So where do we begin with understanding Praveen's budget? Justice gave us some insight into the political ramifications of this budget and the, I suppose, restrictions within which Praveen had to work. It must have been a very, very difficult balancing act, which even accountants who are used to debit and credit would have struggled to deal with.
Yes, and we do agree with Justice that it was a very difficult budget, and Praveen Gordhan was, as well as walking a tightrope, he had a couple of balls in the air that he was trying to juggle at the same
time. Right.
We also agree with him that he didn't go deep enough into the budget. Expectations were very high for the budget, and although we think these expectations were difficult to deliver on, we saw a currency sell-off on the back of this disappointment from investors.
So in other words, the investment community is not that impressed.
Yes, I think the investment committee is feeling kind of neutral to underwhelmed, I think would be the correct word to
and
use.
We were also hoping yesterday that the markets would either rally in the face of good news, and we would suddenly see a little more green on our screens than red.
Yeah.
But not so.
A little bit more green would have been a nice thing to see in our screens. We haven't seen much of that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the Aussie ended volatile but weak day, 0.9% lower. This was led by resources and financials, which can be expected given what was talked about in the budget. And
right.
The Rand had its biggest intraday decline against the US dollar in the last 5 weeks.
Wow.
So starting the day at 15.23, it was at 15.31 when the budget started, at 15.56 at the end of his speech. And 16 Rand when I last checked this morning. So that's an indication of how, I suppose, the foreign investors viewed our budget.
But that also has something to do with the fact that everyone knew that the Rand was going to go south with that speech. If you were like,
I don't know that everyone did.
Yeah, but look, I mean, going back to Michael's theory about in it for the easy money, right? Now all these sort of like home couch stockbroker kind of investor people. Like if you were to say buy all these dollars and then you say you spent like 10,000 Rand on dollars, it's a very, very small margins here. We're talking about people who are speculating.
Mm-hmm.
If 1,000 people did that, would that make any difference?
There were definitely a lot of speculators going into yesterday's budget, and as a whole, expectations were very high. We think the currency sell-off happened because investors were disappointed in the lack of concrete commitments that were given, particularly around state-owned enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think Praveen mentioning a merger between SAA and SA Express was enough.
Should have been privatization. But okay, now let me ask you something, Tamsin. Are there investors out there that would be dumb enough to invest as minority shareholders in SAA?
So we would probably hope for a private equity firm of some sort buying SAA, with a private equity firm that would have the ability to turn it around. Private clients, I don't think so.
But even a private equity firm, I mean, if you don't have a say in how it goes, and that's clearly what would happen here, you'd maybe what would they offer up? A 15-20% stake maybe at most?
Yes, at most I think it would be a minority stake that would be offered up. And we're not too sure who will be buying those assets. It might be the PIC, it might be a private equity firm. We are unsure.
And government would look at this and go, okay, well, we can get some money in. That's the reason they're looking at it. We can get
Correct.
Private entities to fund SAA. But SAA is a going concern and it needs to show that it's making money. And for an investor, unless you can affect the levers that make the business work, why would you invest in something?
Exactly. It might be a going concern, but it's not a great business. It's costing money. It's inefficient. So I think the hope would be that someone would come in with a clout to change that. Whether that someone exists is a different story entirely.
And then, of course, he didn't talk about the civil service and the fact that that costs us so much money, which Justice touched on as well. I think that probably also would have made people think, fine, he's got ideas on the income side of things, but on the expenditure side, he's just talking a whole lot.
I think that's our other biggest reason why we saw the currency sell-off and why we think markets ended lower. Pravin and the government now needs to walk the talk. So last year this time, they kind of said the same thing about cutting travel arrangements and the price that they can pay for their cars is lower. Mm-hmm. But we need to see evidence of this. So I think in the next few months, if we do not see evidence of this, that will be a problem for us.
How does the budget affect ordinary people like us?
So the biggest way it will affect ordinary people is obviously income taxes. And this was the big thing for us in the budget. We thought they would increase income taxes, especially the higher bracket, from 41% to about 43%, which would have brought in about between 3 and 4 billion rand into the budget. They didn't do this. Instead, they gave a tax relief to the tune of 5.2 billion rand, I think it is, or 5.5 billion rand. Mm-hmm. But this is obviously going to lower and middle income earners. Given that it is an election year, we're unsure if this was a political move, and obviously Justice would be the correct one to kind of
say. Well, I think we can deduce that it must have been a political move.
Yeah.
If you let a whole lot more poor people pay less tax, and I say poor by, you know, comparison. With the top bracket, and you let those people retain their 41% tax margin, I suppose that everybody is more happy.
Yes, everyone would be more happy, because I think the top bracket is also kind of getting a little bit tired of just carrying the budget.
Well, we've reached a bit of a... I think people have reached a threshold in this country when it comes to paying tax. So even at the lower end, those people still pay VAT, those people still pay for the fuel levy, all of those things. So everybody's just feeling a little bit...
very squeezed.
We're feeling leaned upon.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
And leaned upon, and we're not kind of getting the delivery that we expect when we do pay those kind of sums of money. Speaking about VAT, there were some commentators that thought VAT would increase from 14% to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
This would have brought in about 15 billion rand to the budget. It remained unchanged. We also thought that it would have, again, because it's a political year. We do think that they might increase VAT along with when they announce the plans for the NHI, which is the National Health
Insurance
Committee. Mm-hmm. Because if you're saying we're increasing VAT, but it's for this good health service, then it becomes more palatable for the public.
Right. But in the income column,
yes,
there's not really that much that's new.
No.
It's little increases here and there. And on the expense column, obviously, we've discussed not very much has changed at all. So really, it was tinkering. It was fiddling here, massaging there, polishing a little bit there, but no major whole-scale changes.
No major whole-scale changes. One tax that will affect investors is the capital gains tax was increased to about 16.7%. So capital gains tax is the
tax... This is for individuals.
For individuals, and then company
and for companies
tax...
companies, 25 now.
22.4.
Right.
From 18.6. So it's still quite a high jump.
Right.
And capital gains tax is obviously the tax you pay on the gain, on the profit of an investment. So that will affect some investors.
Do you think that will have a negative effect long term on the stock market?
No, I don't think so. So I don't think it'll change the behavior of how people invest their money.
Mm-hmm.
We could see maybe a bit of sell-off in kind of the next few weeks as people try and lock in some gains at a lower rate, but nothing to a great extent, or that I think will be particularly measurable.
Now, capital gains tax also affects people who sell property.
Yes.
So let's say you own a house and you sell your house, then there is a capital gain on that.
Yes, there is.
Which you have to pay tax on.
There is. And another thing that changed in the property market, I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but anyone buying a property in the 10 million rand and above range, mm-hmm, are going to be paying higher transfer duties.
That's right. Which means that a large portion of the sale price or the buying price, depending on which side of the equation you're on, will go to government.
Exactly.
Is there anything else in the budget we need to be aware of? Are there any clues to future changes and to things that might be put in and taken out during the course of the year?
One thing that we thought might be brought up and which wasn't was restrictions on investors taking money offshore. So currently individuals have the capacity to take 10 million rand offshore in a given year. This increased from 4 million rand last year. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any mention of that.
Wasn't, yeah.
So that might be something that could happen in the future. Other than that, I don't think there was any indications of something else that would change. And then obviously the normal things that will affect the consumer, the sin taxes on booze and cigarettes, the new sin tax on sugar, which you mentioned earlier.
Right. What did happen on the stock market, some companies went up a little. Were there any major winners?
So gold went up yesterday, and this was in a declining resources sector of 3.4%.
I saw Sibanye looked very good.
Yeah, Sibanye's had a phenomenal run this year. If only we could go back in time and buy it in December, that would be great. We might be paying higher capital gains then. And the financials were down about 1.9%. This is to be expected. So our banks, their growth in advances booked is very closely linked to the growth in GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously our growth in GDP, which was previously forecasted to grow at 1.7%, is now going to be growing at 0.9%.
Sure.
This is very low.
Mm.
And this will definitely affect the financial sector. Another sector that was not spared was the property sector. They were down on the back of bond yields blowing out. And I expect this to continue going forward.
All right. I can't think of anything else that we need to cover that we haven't already discussed this morning.
One thing that wasn't mentioned on the back of Justice Last's comments is unforeseen expenses that came up in the budget on the back of the Fees Must Fall campaign and the drought which we experienced last year.
Oh, right.
So 16.3 billion rand, which was allocated to higher education, of this 5.7 billion rand is going to the fees staying the same as they were in 2015. So that was an unexpected expense that had to be covered. And obviously the drought which we have experienced has been awful, and 15 billion rand has been allocated to farmers and water-stricken areas. So that's, given that it was already a tough budget, having these massive unforeseen expenses also could not have been easy.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tamsin.
Thank you.
Great to have you here this morning, and thanks for clearing up some of these things that we're a little confused by, or we needed to remind ourselves of, where things are going to hit us the most and where they're going to have the least effect.
One thing that I'd also like to say is when Pravin was talking about fiscal consolidation, mm-hmm. which is the policy of cutting the budget deficit, etc.
Right.
I think there's a personal finance 101 tip in there. He kind of said something along the lines of, do not spend money you do not have and do not borrow beyond your ability to repay.
Spot on.
If every single person could just take those simple words and apply them.
I know. We were even talking about it before you arrived, how we're each going to cut back on what we have
and
what we want in order to kind of bring everything in line.
Yeah.
Should we all be cutting up our credit cards once we've paid off that debt?
You should definitely pay off that debt, especially because we're in a rising interest rate cycle.
Yeah.
Pay off your most expensive debt, cut down away, don't eat out as much. A lot of things most of us do at work is we buy coffees every day, we buy lunch when we're too lazy to pack leftovers. Those are the kind of things people can cut back on.
Thank you. Some useful practical tips as well. There we go. Tamsin Nell from Anchor Capital, thank you very much for coming to see us this morning. We'll get to Ben's sport in a second. Yeah, I hope you've got some sport for us, Ben.
So much, Gareth.
So much, even on a Thursday. All right, and then Mubs has got some news for us too, so lots to get into. I wanted to play you something this morning. Pravin's, he tried to crack a few jokes. It didn't really go so well. He's not good at comedy.
No, he's not. Pravin. He can't deliver like that. No.
Yeah, he did say one or two things about like the P word, which he meant was privatization. And then he said the only other P word he knows is Pravin. But I don't think anyone laughed, really.
It was kind of a
titter. know? Not very much excitement there. But, I mean, that's not why we keep him in place, and that's not why he's the finance minister. If he was hired for his sense of humor, we'd have a major problem. All right, so Ben, let's get stuck into your sport for this morning and see what we've got there. It is Thursday, and if you're wondering where Justice is this morning, he was on from 6:30 to 7. You can listen to that podcast in a moment. It's available. Ben, what do we got?
Gareth, we've got a big weekend ahead, but this midweek stuff, we're going to get to that first. Dynamo Kiev 1, Man City 3. Two first half goals from City there. Brilliant, brilliant away win. So two first half goals. First half goals. So Joe Aguero, David Silva. There we go. That's what I was trying to say. So Man City, they normally get knocked out by this stage. Barcelona kind of always put pay to them. But with three away goals, it looks like the final eight is very much within grasp for them. PSV, they had 10 men in the field for the last 20 minutes of their match against Atletico Madrid, but they managed to hold on for a 0-0 draw. Ooh. Which means they now go to Madrid and they'll probably get an absolute dicking from there. Atletico Madrid are a good side, so PSV, the best they can do is 0-0, and they've just done that now. In the Premier League, Premiership, the PSL last night, the Free State Stars, they beat Ajax 1-0. Maritzburg United, they went down to Wits to be, well, it was to be expected, there's the bottom side. Wits winning that one 2-1. Sundowns 2-1 over Black Aces. Ah. Now, Mazi Kayiza Mashaba and Klobo Kakana, they were just on fire early on. So Sundowns were 2-0 up after 8 minutes. Now, you can't really come back from that. This is a good team. Great start. Black Aces did play pretty well, and they managed to get a goal back. But 2-1 the final score there, which now means that Sundowns are with 9 matches left, 7 points ahead. So there was no movement last night in the table, with Wits and Sundowns both winning. But hey, it's right. Still that thrilling climax waiting for it to happen, waiting for Brasatani's oracle visions to come true here.
Brasatani, let's remind people. Brasatani says that Sundowns are not the force to be reckoned with that a lot of people think they are.
He reckons they're going to run out of steam because they're going to be too stretched going down the final stretch here. In FIFA news, the big election is coming up, and Prince Ali, unfortunately, could not get the postponement he wanted.
Aww.
He wanted more transparency. This is what it came down to. So what's happening here is that he wants people to go into the booth and you'd be able to see what's going on. But dodgy powers that be said no, it's got to be private. So he's thinking that people are going to go in there with their cell phones and they're going to tell people and pressurize them into what to vote for. They're going to take pictures of their ballots so they can kind of, you know, claim their bribes afterwards.
Is that what people do?
That's kind of what happens. It's like, okay, well, I'm giving you this money because this is how this block voting works, right?
Right.
These guys campaign and they put people in their pockets. So then they say, okay, cool, vote for me, but make sure you take a photo so that you can prove that you vote for me. So Prince Ali, to his credit, is saying, well, hang on a second, I'm not saying this happens, but how about we just have a very transparent voting process? To which some old derelict suits go, no, we can't do that. It's against the spirit of being dodgy. Speaking of dodgy, Sepp Blatter and Michel Platini, they've been just crying innocence. Such a lame story, this. It's like we've done nothing wrong. The money that was exchanged, it was a gentleman's agreement for services rendered. I mean, this is starting to sound like it was just sexual favors between a man and his apprentice. The more these guys whine on about how innocent they are and how this money was paid for, you know, actual services, it just sounds dodgy. Anyway, their ban has been moved from 8 years to 6 years.
Wow.
So
lucky them.
Minor victory for them, but they still want to take it as far as they can.
Imagine, though, the gumption of them going back into football in 6 years' time.
Oh, they will.
Why doesn't Sepp go away?
Sepp will be, I think, 79 years old.
Go so away. 79 years old. Go away, Sepp.
I think he just wants to beat Mugabe. That's what it comes down to.
Well, he's already lost.
He wants to be in office longer than Bob. So he wants to come back. He's going to take a little bit of a hiatus now. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, polish up on the evil. And he's going to come back. Watch.
It's going to take a lot to beat Bob, though. I mean, he's 92.
Yeah, Sepp's going to, first of all, have to stay fit and healthy, which doesn't look like he is.
No, the last time we saw him, he had a plaster on his face like an old fat Nelly.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, everyone's got goals in life, I suppose, Mubs. And who are we to say Sepp Blatter can't do this?
Boo, Sepp.
Yeah, just to recap on who these people are who are vying for Sepp's position, it's the South African businessman Tokyo Sekwale. He's got no chance. He's just there for the buffet afterwards, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to vote for him? No one. There is the Asian Football Confederation president, Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa.
Well, with a name like that, you've got to vote for him.
You have to, really.
Is there space for that name on the ballot?
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah, you can't even really make an acronym out of that because you've got bins and owls, and you know, do you go with that? But then there's, for the more romantic, there's the former FIFA Deputy Secretary General Jerome Champagne, and then the current UEFA General Secretary Gianni Infantino.
Yeah, they both sound like they should be in some romance movie.
If the vote was going to be based on names alone, I would go for Champagne.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too.
Champagne.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Celebrating a less dodgy way forward with a Shiraum champagne. That's what I'd go for. Right, so Super Rugby, here we are. We've ummed and ahed about this, we've beaten around bushes, and we've basically all poo-pooed it for being so long, drawn out, and shitty. Well, it's here. Friday, tomorrow, first match, 8:35 South African time. All the times I'll give you now are South African time. Blues versus Highlanders. Now, before I get into this, also remember that there's some rule changes here. So, not actual rules in the field, but the bonus point thing. So, you don't get a bonus point for scoring 4 tries anymore. You get a bonus point for scoring 3 tries more than your opposition, which means that the game will stay exciting to the end, hopefully. We've got a lot of new talent, a lot of new coaches, a lot of new teams and setups. So, this could be a new era in Super Rugby if you are looking for some positives. So, with that said, Blues versus Highlanders. The Highlanders are the defending champs, so look for them to win that one. That Highlanders backline is just amazing. The Blues, well, they just battled over the last few years with getting any sort of cohesive unit and any sort of continuity towards building a game plan. You know, like, there's a lot of hit and miss talent there. So I'd pick the Highlanders there for the first match. Then we've got the Brumbies versus the Hurricanes. Hurricanes haven't got the best record in Canberra. Most people don't, really. Canberra is just the most arse end of Australia. It's very boring. It was made just to be a legislative capital.
Right.
It's dreadful.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere.
No, it's crap. So anyone that goes there doesn't normally have a good time. That game is at 10:45 on Friday. Look for the Brumbies to win that one. Cheetahs versus the Jaguares. That is the first game to be played on SA soil.
Jaguares.
That is going to be at 7 o'clock on Friday night. The Cheetahs, they're also a whole new dawn. They don't really have many players. They've got a new coach who's basically gone from Varsity Cup straight through to Currie Cup straight through to Super Rugby because Nakadrotsky somehow went missing. I still don't know what that story is, I've got to say. He went to England to learn English and rugby. He came back and just basically resigned. It was very odd. So the Jaguares, they are a very strong side. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to try to get as many Argentinian internationals as possible into this team. And the cool thing is for that is that then they could be strong in the rugby championship, and a strong Argentina adds so much to world rugby, really. So look for the Jaguares to win this one. The Cheetahs are great in attack, but they have been quite leaky in defense. Right, so that's your first day. Your second day, Saturday, we've got the Sun Wolves in Japan versus the Lions. This is at 6:15 in the morning because Japan are very far to the right of the world. That's why they call the land of the rising sun. They see it first. 6:15 is your match there. But unlike the Jaguares, the Sun Wolves aren't the Japanese team. Now, the people who are in the Japanese team who are really good either play in Europe or they play somewhere in Super Rugby for the other teams, and they generally aren't Japanese. I know it's quite a conundrum this, but I'll try to make it simple. So we're going to look for the Sun Wolves to be the whipping boys of the tournament along with the Kings. Any difference is the Sun Wolves players will get paid, whereas Cheeky Watson will basically throw dog biscuits to his players. So look for the Lions to win that one. And then we've got Crusaders versus Chiefs at 8:35. Now the Crusaders are just proverbial non-starters. That's what they do. They have this great team. But for some reason, the first two, three games, they're not so good. So look for the Chiefs to have an upset here at that game, 8:35 on Saturday morning. Then the Waratahs versus the Reds, our first Aussie derby, otherwise known as Snorefest, really. Waratahs will be way too strong for the Reds, that game at 10:45. And then Force versus the Rebels, always a very tight match, but because they're mostly just evenly matched, they're not very good sides, but it'll be a much better encounter than the one before this. 12:55 that game. And then we come home back to South Africa for Kings versus the Sharks. Now, the Kings haven't got a hope in hell, really, for most matches this year. And to play a Sharks team, even with some injuries, the Sharks are going to be too strong. That game is at 3 o'clock. It will be played in PE. So look for the local bars to be filled for the first time since December 2014. Stormers versus Bulls round up the weekend's action. Stormers versus Bulls at 5:05 from Newlands. Now, the Bulls have got a very youthful side coming into this. I think they've got 9 new caps in total. 6 new caps in total. Stormers, they've got a good side, but they haven't got a fly-off, which is a bit of a worry for them. So it'll be kind of a hard and fast battle, this one. Both teams are vowing to play a more open game this year. They've been quite boring in the past, especially the Stormers. So they're both looking to throw the ball around a bit. And I think just a general bit of home ground advantage, they will stand in the Stormers' stead there. So back the Stormers with that.
Okay, before you carry on, Ben, we've got Sean on the line. He wants to talk about something. Hey, Sean, what's up, man?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm looking for a tax relief for parents, that's got kids in school.
You think that you should be given special tax exemption?
I'll tell you what, we had a discussion last night. You know, you've got, I've got 2 kids, 2 girls, and one's in primary, the other one's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every activity, in-house activity that the school has, the kids, you know, you've got to pay for it. Something stupid like civvy day where they can put on normal clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But then they give this, you've got to pay for that, but then they give it a theme. So what they don't realize is you've got to go look for an outfit now, like the theme is circus.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to dress like kids, like something in the circus, but I've got to pay for that. There's an, there's another thing called, I don't know what it's called in English, but in Afrikaans it's landdienst. It's like land service or something. It's something that they do in school.
Yeah.
You pay $200 for that. But then these kids also go, and it's someone from the school that actually sort of runs this thing. Then they go on all sorts of trips and whatnot, and you pay for each and every one of those trips. The kids are going to Cape Town this year. It's going to cost us like 6,000 rand. And it's sort of mandatory that the kids go because it's...
Can't you sell your children? I mean, get a deposit back or something. I don't know.
It's fucking depressing. It really is. I don't know what and where. You know, if you've got two school fees, 1,700 rand a month per kid. So...
That's heavy.
I don't know what single parents do. That must be absolutely crazy.
Yeah, dude, listen, I hear you. I mean, it's expensive these days. To have every child costs you a fortune.
Yeah. No, and then they've got like a tuck shop at school. So I give the kids $25 each this morning just to get like something from the tuck shop. So, you know, my one girl tells me, you know what, the sandwiches there is like 24 rand, 25 rand a sandwich.
Wow.
Then they haven't bought water or nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's $50 each. There you go. It's an endless money pit.
How much do you have left at the end of the month, Sean?
Fuck all. in short.
All right, dude.
Sean, do any of them have a chance of becoming pro sports stars to kind of have a return on your investment here?
Oh, definitely. Anyway, guys, I just thought So think twice, eh?
All right, thanks, dude. No, don't worry. I'm not even going to think twice. I've thought about it. It's not going to happen.
Mm.
Expensive stuff. If you have more than one kid, if you have more than three kids, it's just going to financially cripple you. And for 18 years, they can't earn a cent to pay you back.
50 rand for tuck shop money. I used to get 3 rand in primary school, bruh. 3.
I remember I'd have to save, like, through the course of the week so I could buy something on the Friday.
So, guys, when Anthea starts saying that you maybe should buy shares in these listed schools, just think of the business, okay? Tuck shop. You're running a shop. So, basically, they're making money that petrol stations are making because they're all in that whole tuck shop business. Huge. All these civvy stays and that kind of stuff, they're taking a cut on that. All these excursions, they've probably got their own internal travel agency.
No, it's madness. It's really madness. Anything else you want to throw in sports-wise, Ben?
Well, Gareth, there's a lot to get into tomorrow with also the Six Nations happening. There's all the football fixtures, but I will leave you with this big golf news. Now, this weekend is the Honda Classic, which is one of the real big – this time of year, there's huge events that all run up into the Masters, which is around, well, the first weekend of April.
Mm-hmm.
So all the big talents are playing all these big matches. So somehow Tiger Woods still manages to be the top story, though. He had this back operation. Everyone's saying he can barely stand up. It's gone so badly. Tiger then posts a video of him swinging at home in his little virtual golf course kind of screen thing. And that makes the biggest golf news of the week, without doubt. Just Tiger hitting one ball.
Tiger is still the most interesting guy in golf, whether anybody likes it or not.
He hits one ball. Everyone's oh my gosh, Tiger can still play.
Spot on.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot more sport tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much, Ben. I've got Mangoba, who hosts the show on a Monday called Young and Wild and Free. How are you, Mangoba?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Gavin?
Good, dude. Your finance minister did a good job yesterday, huh?
I thought so. When I sat there, I was in Parliament, I thought, this guy, him for president, and then I reminded myself, then we had that issue, we're going to have the issue of trying to find a new finance minister, and you don't want to go through that again.
Mangoba does this show called Young and Wild and Free. He's very connected. He had tea on Monday evening, was it, with all the chief whips of the three parties, the three main parties in Parliament, right?
Something like that.
So what have we learned? I mean, what are these guys like?
Excellent guys. And also very close friends as a group of people. Also very, very different in ideology. I found that one didn't have much of an ideology. The other two are basically fighting each other on the same ideology. So it was one of those things. But I'm sure one of these days they'll be on your show, and so you'll be able to see, what it is they've got to offer and what's happening.
So you sat in Parliament for the budget speech yesterday.
Yeah.
Where did you sit up in the gallery?
In the gallery, yeah.
And do you have a good view?
Not necessarily, but I mean, I was there because I was invited.
Right.
And I was also there because this morning I'm breaking down the budget speech at some breakfast. And then, so that was trying to help me. But I mean, I would have been better off being at home with the PDF version of the speech trying to dissect it at that time. But I thought the guy did a very good job.
And what is it like being in Parliament? Is it a nice sort of interesting atmosphere? Because there must have been a couple of important people there besides the politicians.
It wasn't the first time I'd been. So I thought the other time that I'd been was for a State of the Nation address for Bomb Baby, one of the years.
Mm-hmm.
And that I thought was more of a moment for me. Yesterday was now that I'm grown up, because that's when I was still pretty much a teen and stuff. Now that I'm a bit grown up, it's now a reality, because it deals with what I do for a living. It deals with life in general. I mean, the parent that spoke and I was speaking about giving 50 rand of tap shop money and stuff like that. But that's the reality of life. Now I've got bills to pay. Now I've got a bond. Now I've got this and I've got that. So that's the reality of life.
Yes,
and so now it means a whole lot more, even though it's not as an auspicious event as what like the last time was. So yeah.
That sounds pretty good. All right, man, what else do you have to tell us while you're in Cape Town? What else do you get up to? Are you working nonstop?
Yeah, no, I've got audits. I've got an audit with the largest client, and then I've got two events today within NEC. I'm living at an NEC house, funny enough. So I've got tea with him a bit later, and we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
All right, dude, and we'll catch you next Monday again.
Next Monday, perfect. Yeah.
Very, very good. Young and Wild and Free. It's hosted by that man there, Mangoba Ngubo. And you can hear the show and you can listen to it and you can figure out how... this guy's so connected. Huh? It's unbelievable. Right, Sia?
Crazy.
Having tea with the cheap whips. Yeah.
Dinner with the right people.
Yeah. No, he's very connected.
Who knows who he's going to rub shoulders with right now?
Knows his stuff. And we've kind of been talking to each other almost since the beginning of Cliff Central. Now he's got his own show.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. See things happen. All right, Mubs, what's happening in the news? That's what everybody wants to know. The stuff besides the budget.
Okay, Gareth. Well, let's begin with, I suppose, the other side of the coin with regards to the student protests that have been unfolding over the last few weeks. And I guess the students who are not involved in the protests have now decided to also take to social media. And, you know, they're coming up with hashtags and campaigns of their own. Mm-hmm. You might have become aware of pictures of students holding prayer meetings.
Yeah, prayer groups and things.
Prayer groups and that kind of thing. Then there's this new campaign called hashtag colorblind, mm-hmm. which, you know...
What's that all about?
Well, basically, Gareth, if you're a black student, you grab a white student, you take a picture with them, and you post it on social media.
Just grab one.
Grab a white, grab a black. Grab a
just,
colored, yeah. grab an Indian, right. grab anybody who doesn't look like you, take a selfie with them and make sure to smile and then say hashtag I am colorblind. Now, unfortunately for these students, a lot of people have been kind of poo-pooing this hashtag colorblind thing, with people saying, don't these kids realize that being colorblind is a medical condition? So I just want to... this is what's happening.
Jesus, social media's gone down the toilet.
This is what's happening. I guess people are saying, look at these kids trying, but they're saying, actually, you guys are just trying to put another band-aid on a wound that's obviously not healed. So then the question is, what do we do? Where do we go from here?
This is why I'm over social media. I really am. I posted something last night about Kanye West, because he's been going crazy on Twitter. He said, like, hey, Grammys, this is the greatest artist ever speaking, or whatever. So I said, what a total douche, right? Which he is. Now, I took it down after 5 seconds, because people are just so stupid on social media. The other day, I think it was 3-4 days ago, I put up a tweet of Nelson Mandela's. This is our first
elected president in this country. The quote was, "It is so easy to break down and destroy. The heroes are those who make peace and build." We need to hear this kind of thing at this time. I didn't think it was controversial. Guess what? There are a couple of right-wing people who said to me, "Oh, but Mandela was a terrorist, so how can he talk about not breaking down and destroying?" And then I had a whole bunch of these students must fall people, whatever they are, whatever you call them, these Twitter activists, who said to me, "Ah, Mandela was a sellout, how can you quote Mandela? That's typical of you, you white supremacist." Just fuck you all right? How about that? It's a Nelson Mandela quote. This man was the greatest South African that's ever lived. People will remember him long after you're dead. Right? Some Twitter activist with 130 followers is giving Mandela shit. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are if you get up on social media with your either you've got a picture of an egg, or in the case of this woman, it was a picture of her giving the middle finger. Like she's such a winner. She's such a strident activist. I can't wait to meet her and help her figure out the solutions to all the world's problems. Her solution is a middle finger to the world and criticizing the greatest South African that has ever lived. A man that I'm sure she never had the fucking privilege to meet. I did. And let me tell you something. He changed more than just this country. He changed the world. And you won't change a damn thing with your 130 followers and your 140 characters on Twitter. There are more characters in your tweet than there are followers to your tweet. Back down. Shut up. Sit in the corner and mind your own business. Twitter is not for you. You should listen a little more and talk a little less. Nelson Mandela's words should echo in your empty head for the rest of your day. And then come to me with some idea afterwards when you've properly digested the thoughts of a human being who's doing good things or who changed the world. Good Lord. This is what social media is. You go on with colorblind. There's this. Look, it's a weak, ineffective social media hashtag campaign. But these are people who mean well. What do? They climb into them. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, also with the pictures of the students who kind of get together and they hold hands and they have these prayer groups and people saying, "Oh, please, God doesn't care about your problems. This is such a waste of time."
What a mean-spirited place you have to be in to just tear everything down. All you want to do is destroy. You know what you stand for? You don't stand for a movement that matters or a political system or anything else. You stand for destruction because you're a barbarian. That's all you are. If you use more than 3 must falls in the last month in your Twitter account, you're a barbarian.
I used rain must fall.
Shut up, my buddy.
When we were right in the thick of the heat, Gareth, and I was like, no, please, hashtag rain must fall, please.
All right, I take that back. All right, that one is fair.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Don't attack Nelson Mandela. You don't have the weapons to win that fight. Do yourself a favor. Go and study some history. It would help you to understand the present and might even help you plan for your future. Because at the moment, there's nothing going on in your empty head except some noise that someone else put in there because you're 20 years old and you want to make a noise at varsity and get noticed. Or your parents didn't love you enough and you're feeling bad about that. Don't make it everyone else's problem.
I'd like to see any of us spend 27 years in prison.
Right.
I'd actually like to see it.
Well, you might just have to, because if these students carry on destroying stuff, they might spend a few years in prison.
Oof.
I mean, did you see the pictures of the Mafeking campus at NWU?
Buildings
on fire.
Burning.
Now, who do you think's going to suffer from that? Who are the first people who will lose out from those burning buildings at the Northwest University in Mafeking?
The students themselves.
Yeah, it's not the racist, white, hegemony, monopoly, capital bullshit that you're being told is the reason that you're where you are. It's you. You burnt the building down. Therefore, you can't find a place to learn. If you can't find a place to learn and you don't have the resources, you won't learn. If you don't learn, you will go back to where you started. Then what have we achieved?
But I imagine there are so many little clashes happening amongst students themselves on these campuses, because yesterday I saw pictures of, you know, the buildings burning. And then a few minutes later, you see pictures of different students trying to put these fires out.
Well, that's it.
So I can just imagine you know, you get like some students who say, yeah, let's tear it apart, let's burn it down, and then people say, no, we can't do that, and then they start fighting amongst each other.
And a number of people who must be trying really hard to stop this ridiculous racial divide that's taking place in campuses too. There must be people who have their heart and soul put into the idea that we actually should and can and must get along, and that separating us into black and white is probably the worst thing we can do, not just for the country, but for everything to do with the country, right? And those poor people, you don't hear them because they don't get onto the front page of the newspaper with blood all over their faces because they're being reasonable. I hate this whole AfriForum EFF thing. It makes us all look like we have to choose sides. I don't like the EFF or AfriForum. If I were on campus right now, I'd join both just to fuck with their heads. That's what I did at university. I joined every political party. And they watched me going from one political party's table to another. Until I joined all of them. And then I wore the one's t-shirt with the other one's cap, and I had a badge for the third one. They were completely confused. We can't let these politicians take over on our campuses when we have more important things to do than worry about their political battles. You're doing the work for them. If you're letting AfriForum or the EFF use you as cannon fodder or as a symbol of something they're trying to achieve which does you no good, you're dumb. You're being used. Don't let them. All right.
Whew. All right. So, over in Australia, because we've been talking about marijuana a lot over the last few days, and the Australian Parliament has now passed a measure legalizing medical marijuana.
Uh-huh.
The amendments to the Narcotic Drugs Act will allow cannabis to be legally grown for medical and scientific purposes for the first time in Australia. The Minister of Health, Susan Lee, said, "This is a historic day for Australia and the many advocates who have fought long and hard to challenge the stigma around medicinal cannabis products, so genuine patients are no longer treated as criminals."
Well, you know, in Australia, they have rules for everything. If you step... If you're on a quiet street in suburban Australia and the light is red and you try to cross the road, out of nowhere, some cop jumps out of a bush and goes, "Oi, I think you were trying to cross the road there. That's not allowed. I'm going to have to clap you in irons and take you away." Apparently, if you drive and you don't stop completely at a stop street, they take points off your license or something. I mean, listen. I wouldn't want to live in that environment. Everybody goes on about how South Africa can be so lawless some of the time. Give me some of that rather than Australia. Ooh, I'd hate to live in Australia. Ugh.
Which I also, I mean, this is another reason why I find it surprising. Australia, of all places, yeah, legalizing marijuana when they're usually so uptight.
Not legalizing it, for medical use.
Well, yes, for medical use.
Sure. They would never allow it for recreational use. They're too uptight in Australia. Here's Jennifer says, "Rioting is the voice of the unheard, Martin Luther King. It's not a case of barbarians." Yeah, you know what, Jennifer, that's fine, but rioting is also not necessary on a tertiary education campus where you're already getting what you want. Fees have fallen. Now you're talking about outsourcing. After that, it'll be something else. This is just, it's obfuscation. It's what Justice Malala and I were talking about earlier. Do yourself a favor and listen to the podcast from 6:30 to 7 this morning. The Burning Platform. Speaking of burning. The Burning Platform, where we burn words instead of things. And take a listen to that, Jennifer, because that's a bullshit quote. And remember Martin Luther King's circumstances and the context of him saying that, very, very different to the context and circumstances of free people in a democratic country in 2016. If you were in the civil rights movement in the 60s in America, totally understandable, justifiable, and by the way, a man who was a pacifist through and through, Martin Luther King. So understand it in that context, Jennifer. Don't throw a random quote at me out of context and expect me to take you or your quote seriously. That's nonsense. Graham says, "You're verbalizing my exact thoughts. Thank you, Gareth." Well, I channeled you, Graham. That's how I hate to admit it, but I have no thoughts of my own. What I do is I have an ability to channel other people's thoughts, and then they think I'm saying what they think because I'm actually saying what they think. I've got nothing in my head at all. It's empty. I just absorb other people's thoughts and put them out there.
Ines says, usually when I hear a rapper is going to be on the show, I prepare for a good laugh. But that Blaze guy yesterday was awesome. Good interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went down well. Flex?
That tweet last night that you said you retweeted of Kanye West.
Yeah.
So it read, hi Grammys, this is the most important living artist talking.
Mm.
Piers Morgan goes and retweets it and says, you're not even the most important living artist in your marriage. Now pipe down.
But you see, Piers Morgan is not reacting to Twitter like I am. So many miserable people on Twitter these days. Will it be possible, says Andre, to do a show about unity among people in South Africa and to embrace it, especially on campus? Well, I'd like you to listen to The Gentleman by Choice today, because I know Simpiwe Petros, for all the things that people are criticizing it for, he is a fan of this colorblind movement. And I know that they're very motivational, very optimistic, very positive guys. And I'm sure they'll have some interesting insights into it too. So you probably will get that, Andre, from Gentleman by Choice today, 12 o'clock. Andrew says, ugh, and these are our born frees. Well, don't give up on a generation, Andrew. As I said yesterday, this is a small minority of people who are making a lot of noise, and thanks to social media, it gets amplified. And remember what you were like when you were 20 years old, Andre.
I heard somebody say yesterday, we can't lose patience with the millennials because whatever gripes that they've had, we've probably contributed to their frustrations. I mean, it's probably our fault that they've got the problems that they do. We've let them down, in a sense, is what this person was
trying
to say.
I didn't make anyone any promises.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about elders and leadership in this country. They,
well,
you know,
yes, absolutely.
As older people, we've kind of let these kids down.
Here's something interesting from Yon Dandigi. Says, you know, the most interesting part is these so-called white universities have the top black politicians' children in them. So it shows there is a good in the institution and only the few who seek unnecessary things to bring it down. Well, the funniest thing was, isn't the chief executive of Eskom's son one of the people who was most vocal during the UCT protests last week? And he was one of the people arrested. Brian Molefe's son. So you've got to ask yourself, how can you complain about white privilege when you yourself are so much more privileged right now? Your dad is the CEO of Eskom. Sheltered employment and a huge paycheck. Talk about fucking privilege. Roman says, I unfollowed 600 people on Twitter yesterday. What a breath of fresh air. All the toxic wet panties just disappeared. Well, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Do you know what I do? Because they can't tell then. You mute people. You don't block them. I've muted probably close to 600 people as well. I don't see anything, even when they reply to me anything. It mutes them. They're out of the picture. Isn't that great, Sia?
But what vivid imagery.
What, toxic wet panties.
Wet panties. Yeah.
Graham says, my son is black and I'm damn proud. Go colorblind. Well, there we go. All right, Graham. Thank you for that. Ashalia says, good God, I have missed a good Gareth Cliff rant. Well, there we go. And Graham also says, twactivists, this is a different Graham, says, twactivists, F them all day and F them all night.
What's a twactivist?
A Twitter activist.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Then there's this one, why do you make so much sense, Gareth? It's so annoying, says Utluang. And today's also the day for Mark Bland, by the way. I didn't finish the rest of the lineup. He's just reminded me. The Queue with Mark Bland is on. A Nation Erupts. That's right. Antonin Scalia, who was on the U.S. Supreme Court, died, and both the candidates and conservatives have beside themselves with fury over the possibility that Obama is going to appoint a successor. They're going to talk all about that. And someone said to me this morning, who is it that said they want to talk about President Trump? Gerrit says, we've got to talk about Trump. He won in Nevada.
Yeah.
And if you didn't take Trump seriously up to now, you better start. Because this could be the beginning of something very, very big for Trump. Want to talk to Raymond? Hey, Raymond, what's up? Okay, he's gone. Raymond, you got to learn to hold on. Back to you, Mubs.
All right. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen for a second, because he seems to be going through a lot of personal problems
in his life. What else? He's got the HIV. What else has happened?
Well, Gareth, Charlie Sheen admitted that he might be bipolar. when he appeared on Dr. Oz's show on Monday. Oh. Now, Charlie Sheen and Dr. Oz have struck up this very weird friendship slash partnership thing or whatever.
You know what it's called? Dr. Oz needs ratings. That's what it's called.
Well, that's what it is. Okay. And so every time that Charlie Sheen, you know, wants to be in the media again, he ends up going on to Dr. Oz's show, and then Dr. Oz benefits from that. I mean, it's one of those mutually beneficial relationships. And so he went on to Dr. Oz's show talking about how he might be bipolar. Admitting to suffering from regular manic episodes, the actor explained that the diagnosis had been mentioned to him by medical professionals at various times over his years. And he said, I've been described or diagnosed by enough people that I guess at some point you have to take a look at it. So that was on Monday.
Charlie Sheen is such a train wreck.
Is it even a surprise, though, considering what Hollywood does to some people?
Hollywood does certain
things. Chews you up and spits you out,
but
man.
But you do other things, like the drugs and the hookers. Hollywood didn't do that to him. Charlie did that to Charlie.
Look, it's a tough environment is all I'm saying.
I don't see Tom Hanks sitting on Dr. Oz talking about his problems and his HIV and his bipolar disorder and all the drugs and hookers.
Now, you remember the winning Tiger Blood, yeah. That whole thing. So Charlie has attempted to explain what that moment of his life was also about. And he's also claimed in this episode with Dr. Oz,
yeah,
that his public outburst following his 2011 firing from 2.5 Men may have been caused by his use of testosterone cream. Sheen says it was really that whole post 2.5 Men meltdown. That was a very specific period of time that did feel very out. That I felt a very out of body experience. He says that I felt detached from the real things in life.
Yeah.
He says I felt superhuman during some of that. It was a lot of highs and a lot of lows. He said I was taking a lot of testosterone cream. What the hell are you taking testosterone cream for? Like, what is it supposed to do?
Make your balls expand and your head shrink. That's what I would think.
So he says, I was taking a lot of this stuff, and I think it went too far. It was kind of like a borderline, not a roid rage, but a roid disengage. This is all Charlie speaking.
Oh, boy. Listen to these new words. He comes up with terms. Do you remember that interview? This was back in 2011.
Some are saying that you're bipolar.
I'm by winning.
Rants have people thinking Charlie Sheen has got to be on drugs again.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. It's not available because if you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off and your children will weep over your exploded body. Too much.
Are there any drugs in this house?
Absolutely. Ooh, drugs in the house.
What about the people who supply you with drugs? Are they out of your life?
Radical people like Sean Penn and Mel Gibson and Colin Farrell and Pete Rose. And
it's no secret that you have an affinity for porn stars.
They're the best at what they do, and I'm the best at what I do, and together it's like, it's on. Sorry, Middle America. Yeah, I said it.
Tell us, you know, what really happened in that house in Aspen? What really happened in that hotel?
Ambien. Hello, Ambien. The devil's aspirin. Anyone? Ambien? This voice emerged and said, I'm alive. Bring it. I think that led to that thing in New York. I don't know. Epic. The run I was on made Sinatra, Flynn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just look like, you know, droopy-eyed, armless children.
You're proud of that party moment?
You know, I'm sorry if I offended you. I didn't know you were such a... You're dealing with a Vatican assassin. Sorry.
This guy. I mean, that was 2011. She says to him outright, do you think you might be bipolar? No, I'm by winning. No, you were actually. It turns out Dr. Oz and you had a little heart-to-heart this week, and now you are bipolar, you loser. What a moron. Charlie Sheen, calm down. Get off the drugs.
Testosterone cream.
What
come
a
on.
Stupid thing to... Where do you rub that, by the way? Do you rub it on your balls?
On your thighs. He said he would rub it on his thighs. I still don't know what testosterone cream is and what you use it for.
Oh,
I'd love to know.
Great. Isn't that great? All right. Anything else you want to tell us about, Mubs?
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about FIFA for a second.
Please.
Because
Ben, you can... wait. We got Raymond on the line. Let me go to him. Shame he's been waiting. Hey, Raymond.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Sorry. Again, it's Raymond. It's Ramon.
It is. But it's Flex. I forgive him.
Yeah, he keeps calling you Raymond. What did you want to say, man?
So, I solved the student protest crisis.
Yeah?
It's very simple. you just protest to have broadband ADSL as a human right,
mm-hmm.
and then you just learn from home. So oppressive art won't be offensive. There won't be universities, so there's no exploited workers. You can learn in any language you want. And you don't have to get in touch with AfriForum or EFF if you don't want to.
I like that.
I think I solved this.
Basically, everybody must protest for free Wi-Fi everywhere, and then you don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Absolutely. Then you can just go home and study if you want to or not if you don't want to, and you're responsible for that. It's much cheaper, and then you don't have to talk to other people you don't want to.
Well, I mean, who could argue with that? That sounds to me like a very, very good idea. What is the crowd's response? Oh, muted. Did you expect that?
Firstly, though, we just need to decolonize the internet first.
Oh, decolonize the internet.
Huh. Once that's done, I'm sure, that will work fine.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for that. That, I think, is a very practical solution that we can all apply our minds to.
Thanks,
free Wi-Fi. And, of course, with free Wi-Fi for all, you could listen to cliffcentral.com anywhere you are. And you can supplant a very ordinary education with some extraordinary opinions, views, analysis, commentary, things that you might really want to have on your plate and might help you. So we want to talk about FIFA, Mubs. Tell me about FIFA. What do we need to know?
Well, Friday is a big day, right? Because they're scheduled to vote for a new Sepp Blatter. 2/3 of fans do not trust the football governing body anymore. This is according to anti-corruption group Transparency International. So Transparency International went through this effort of polling 25,000 fans in 28 countries. And according to their poll results, 60% of these people have a deep distrust of FIFA.
But that's very unfair.
Of those polled, 69% even said they have no confidence in FIFA. Mm. But there is some hope, as 50% said that the governing body now has a chance to restore its battered reputation.
Yeah.
Worryingly for football's bosses, 43% of fans said the scandals are affecting how they enjoy the sport, which is actually where it matters. Because people really don't care if you distrust FIFA. They only start to care when it affects whether or not they continue to watch the sport or engage in it or support it in any way. And according to this poll, 43% of fans are saying that they now don't even enjoy the sport. So with Blatter Bland.
No, Blatter Bland is fine too.
Yeah, with Blatter Bland from All Football for, which is what Ben told us is now 6 years, Sheikh Salman bin blah, 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 and Gianni Infantino are the favorites, right?
Right.
But 60% of those asked say that they would not choose any of the 5 candidates standing for election. So they don't trust anybody now.
Listen to Sepp. Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us say that I'm really sorry. I am sorry that I am still somewhere a punching ball. But I'm sorry that I am, as president of FIFA, this punching ball. And I'm sorry for football. I'm sorry for the Fédération Internationale de Football Association I'm serving now more than 40 years. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for the 400-plus FIFA team members, they are working in FIFA. I'm sorry about that.
What a
I'm
prick.
Sorry. But I'm also sorry about me, how I'm treated in this world of humanitarian qualities. I am now suspended 8 years.
Poor you.
Suspended 8 years. But I will fight.
I bet you will
fight for me and I will fight for FIFA. Suspended 8 years for what? So therefore, immediately, once again to the appeal committee, we go to the TAS, Tribunal Arbitral du Sport. We go also to Swiss. The rights of Switzerland. I'm a Swiss citizen.
Oh, can you believe this guy, Ben?
Yeah, he's very much in his own world. Huh?
He's a victim, Gareth.
Total victim.
And he's a punching ball.
I'm sorry that we've done such a good job. I'm sorry people hate me. I'm sorry it's so unfair and life is so unkind. And you're all bastards and I'm a good guy. That's pretty much what he's saying, right?
You know, if in the Swiss law you would be suspended for 8 years, you must have committed something very, very, very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, what you did.
Thank you again. Bit. And thank you for supporting the FIFA, because they are working well all around the world.
Yeah, sure.
Without president, actually. But I'll be back. Thank you.
Oh, you'll be back.
Fuck you. Go kiss my ass.
That's right, Sepp.
Here's a short song, you motherfucker.
That's right. Take it.
I hope that you get run over by a car. The asshole you are, you ugly sucker. Fucker, fucker, fucker.
Ever fucker, fucker. Die, 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 Sepp Blatter. What a horrible man. What a horrible, horrible man.
So Transparency International have also said that there needs to be a huge focus in 2016 on corruption in sport. Okay, they had this to say. Sport should be a force for good in the world.
Uh-huh.
But the latest scandals, not only in football, but in athletics and tennis, have exposed just how vulnerable it is to corruption, and this must stop now. I mean, just yesterday we were talking about Yuri Ru. Saru.
Yeah.
He's like a mini Sepp Blatter in the Western Cape.
But I thought we were all accepting of the fact that corruption goes hand in hand with sport, because, you know, whenever there's big money involved, corruption is like lurking in the background, not too far away, and it just happens. It's part of that's just how humans operate, isn't it? I thought we were all accepting of that.
You know, Mubs, we don't like to be, but we've got to just come to terms with it now. We've got to grow up and understand that the world is full of shitty people. And those shitty people mostly become sports administrators or politicians. And all they do is they sit at the trough with their snouts deep in it and they just eat and drink to their heart's content. And they get up when they're too fat from food and drink and they lie in the sun. And we have to keep filling the trough for them. Just get on with it. Let's be practical. Let's find a way around this. Can I play something for you?
Mm.
Have you ever heard of Wings?
Wings?
Wings, the band Wings?
No.
Well, you're about to get a special treat for this morning. Wing is this woman. She's from Japan. Wing, are you ready? Have a listen to this. Come on, Wing. Sing for us, baby. She great?
Much better than Yoko Ono.
Didn't this make your morning? Come on, tell the truth.
Yeah, I think Yoko is like their coach or mentor.
She's about a 70-year-old Japanese woman. She's singing AC/DC for our pleasure this morning. Yes, yes, I'm. Oh, that's special. Isn't that great?
You know what? I think this woman could handle any genre of music. You give her a Kanye West song, she'll rock it. You give her an AC/DC song, she'll... You give her a Beyonce or a Taylor Swift.
She'll kill it.
She'll make it work every single time.
Speaking of music, Aria Kelman has just had the best night of his life. I don't think it's unfair to say that, because he was at the Brit Awards. Ari, please go. Please help us here. I feel like we're missing out. What are you up to? Where are you now?
All right. So I got into the hotel about an hour ago. It is now in London. If it's 6 o'clock where you are, that would make it. I don't even know what time it is.
It's 8 o'clock here. You don't even know what time it is because you spent the whole night partying with major celebrities. All right. Start at the beginning. You flew upper class with Virgin Atlantic to London.
Yes, yeah, well, so we flew economy to London, which is basically like upper class on another airline because it's such a dope airline. We obviously flew in the 787 Dreamliner, which is the same plane that we launched with Richard Branson last year for Dream Entrepreneur, which we ran.
That's comfortable.
So we
have...
Oh. He's tired. He just cut us off. Flax, get him back on.
I think he just fell asleep.
He just passed out. There you are. Ari, we lost you for a second.
Yeah, it was just my alarm telling me to wake up.
Okay. All right, so hang on. You're on the plane, yeah. And then you land in London. What happens next?
All right, sick. So then we hit the Virgin Atlantic Revivals Lounge because we arrived at about, I think it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. So you go, you do a shower, you get your clothes pressed, which is very important when you're hitting the streets of London because you can't be shabby.
No.
We then hit the Heathrow Express, from there, let me just get my bearings an hour into arriving back from the Brit Awards. We went to, oh shit, bro, where did we go after that?
He's gone. All right, Ari, what happened at the Brit Awards?
Oh yeah, Brit Awards were amazing. So we were about, we were literally on the side of the stage. We had some amazing seats. It's at the O2 Arena, so like packed to capacity, which at the O2 is probably like 80 to 100,000 people.
Easily.
It's massive.
Sure.
And they had sort of two stages, a smaller stage and a big stage. So we were about 10 meters is a little small, probably about 20 meters from the bigger stage on the side. So literally, like, and I'm going to post all these videos and that, and we're going to put a lot of the stuff out. But, like, we were literally almost on the stage. And then, bro, it was, like, the most beautifully curated top 10 music countdown. I felt like I was at the epicenter of pop culture.
Wow.
So running through some of the performances, obviously Adele nominated for 4 awards. She won all 4. She closed the show last night with When We Were Young. It was emotional. And then amazing things happen. So, for instance, it's the David Bowie tribute and out comes Lorde to do the tribute. Annie Lennox introduces and out comes Lorde. Or, holy moly, Rees just dropped the new album Anti. Everyone's like, but Drake features on Work, but he's not on the bill. And there walks Drake out to do his part in Work with Rihanna. And she even enunciated the words in Work. So usually Work is this word where she goes, of the song.
Right.
But she actually pronounced it at the Brits. It was so dope. Coldplay also performed. They actually opened up the show. Amazing. Little Mix, who's a big British band. And then, and this is where we get really emotional.
Yeah.
And I'm emotional because it's now like an hour of sleep.
And he was
so, so dope. Justin Bieber, who just completely killed it. Started out with a little acoustic performance of Love Yourself. And then ran towards the main stage with fire and all sorts of things and performed Sorry, and it was so cool.
Wow. I'm exhausted just listening to this. Okay, now, after parties, level with us. Where did you go? Did you get entry into these amazing after parties, or were you treated like the sick cousin and you were kept behind barriers?
So every year you learn for the next year. So now we know that all the record labels and that do their own little after parties.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I think it was the Universal party where Justin decides, no, he wants to DJ and he starts DJing. So we kind of had to just take it by ear. We landed up in Soho at a couple of places and then eventually at one of the swankiest little spots in Soho. In fact, anywhere you go to this place in the world, it's awesome. The W Hotel.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, super, super cool, super chilled. And then we got back about an hour ago. It was so dope. I just like, you know, I think what's weird about it is that you're kind of at, everyone's speaking about Rihanna at the moment. Everyone's speaking about Adele. Everyone's speaking about Bieber. And it just felt like we were kind of in the midst of all that. I've never been so close to that kind of pop culture action before. I mean, wow. The Weeknd performed as well. It was just, it was awesome.
Unbelievable. Tell me, at these after parties, beautiful people, lots of drinks, lots of fun.
Absolutely. I mean, the weather is like, it's freezing when you're walking in the streets and then you walk in and you have to take like every coat off. But people are really well put together here. I mean, it's only my second time in London, but people take their lives very seriously.
Yes. That means they also look the part, right?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like you kind of have to. I'm also just like so impressed by, I don't know, just the way that people ease into the O2, ease out. Everyone's in a good mood. The production value on the show was just, was like awesome. There was every 5 seconds a confetti or fire or something going off. And what was also cool is all the celebrities sit in like the middle of the O2 at like these dinner tables, almost like a Golden Globes kind of vibe. So while the show is going on, you can kind of just see, because we were pretty close as well to that, you can see Chris Martin just kind of hanging out, having a quick chat with Stella McCartney. You can see them all sort of mulling about. Simon Cowell just sort of taking a seat. Even Bieber hanging next to Scooter Braun at their little table. Adele also sitting at her table. So you can like literally see that. And yeah, the Brits are great. They kind of like, they don't mind just getting a little bit drunk and a little bit fun at like an awards show. It's cool.
Excellent. It sounds amazing. I'm sure you're going to have lots more to tell us when you get back. Get some sleep in the meantime, because you're flying back today, right?
Yes, yeah, I'll fly. Yeah, tonight.
All right, dude. Have fun. There we go. There's Aria Kelman. Live from London. What's up, Sia? You look like you're a little distraught.
That has single-handedly made my day.
Why?
Yo, bro! It was like pop culture, bro!
He's drunk. Ari's still drunk. Right, Flax? You know him.
I should have probably told him about the after parties. You only go to a celebrity after party, or you go to a record label after party. You don't go to a club that says, all the clubs in London were saying Justin Bieber's performing here tonight. Justin dropped a tweet. If they're saying that, they're lying.
Yeah. Well, you see, you're the one who pays attention to these things.
I'm pretty sure the weekend was at Justin's Universal party.
Yeah.
And they are bound to perform at their after party because they get drunk and then they want to be like the center of attention amongst all the other celebrities. So next time, go to Universal Party.
Right. Thank you.
Well, in Ari, he's definitely living his best life.
Oh, sure. Wouldn't you like to fly over to London just for the Brit Awards?
Sure. Why not?
Fly back.
Why not?
Sounds like a good way to spend 2-3 days. Okay. What else do we have?
All right, so Jeremy Clarkson has finally apologized has even settled a lawsuit for that guy that he punched in the face. You know, the member of the production team that he physically attacked in an incident, which cost him his job.
Right.
So he's apologized and he's settled a lawsuit. So the guy's going to get paid for his troubles.
Okay.
The outspoken presenter has now agreed to pay this guy and settle a racial discrimination inquiry claim to the amount of just a little bit over £100,000, according to the BBC.
Wow.
That's
not... Was it racial as well?
Well, I wasn't aware that it was racial, and I don't know who this guy is. I've never seen him. But Clarkson said, yeah, I would like to say sorry once again to... I can't even pronounce this guy's name. Oisin... Timon.
Oh, then it's racial, yeah.
For the incident and its regrettable aftermath. I want to reiterate that none of this was in any way his fault. I would also like to make it clear that the abuse he has suffered since the incident is unwarranted, because apparently Clarkson supporters and also thought it was a good idea to harass this guy. For that, he said, I'm also sorry that he had to go through that. But I mean, that's not a... I'd take a punch for £100,000. Why not?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd even have to... I'd even stare at his teeth while he's mouthing off to me for that much money, which is the real punishment here.
The most expensive punch in the world. That's the only thing you could describe that as.
Well done to the spin people for not making this a race issue when it actually came out.
Yeah, because we only found out about that now.
Yeah, it was a race issue.
Right. Carla says, please check if Flax has shot himself after hearing about Kelman's night. No, he's all right.
Ariel sent me a video of when Justin Bieber started performing. I was so jealous.
Well, can you send it to me so that I can play it?
Oh, there's no audio. It's just Justin walking on stage.
Okay, don't worry about that then. Keep it to yourself.
Did you guys see Johnson & Johnson all over the news yesterday?
What happened?
So a Missouri jury has awarded...
Missouri.
A Missouri jury has awarded $70 million to the family of a woman who died from ovarian cancer, which she said was caused by using Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and other products containing talcum.
Talc. Did she pour talcum powder up her vagina? I mean, what's the story there?
That's all they released so far, but 70 mi- $72 million.
That's a lot of money.
That is a fortune.
But you can do that in America. You can sue for lots of things that you can't here.
In
you,
America,
certainly the amounts of money are nowhere near as high.
In America, you could put your cat in the microwave and then sue the manufacturers of the microwave
you'd have to
for
kill
your
it.
Cat.
You'd have to kill your cat,
you can
yeah.
genuinely do stuff like that in America. It's great.
Colin says, morning, guys. I just thought I'd let you know. Yesterday, I had to spend 5 hours in the labor department in a queue. I listened to Cliff Central. It made the time fly by. Isn't that nice? Thank you, Colin. Good to hear. That's what we're here for. What else? Because I want to do this this heartbeat thing in a moment or two, but Sia's got some info for us.
So I just need a quick opinion on this. I don't know whether it's admirable and it's great business savvy from a young age, or it's kind of inappropriate. So a young Girl Scout in Oregon in America has basically found herself rolling in a lot of dough, and you'll see the pun in that. So she decided, you know how Girl Scouts get to basically sell cookies?
Yeah, yeah.
She decided to sell those outside a marijuana dispensary.
Clever.
Clever. Her tagline and poster was "Satisfy your munchies." So as a Girl Scout, she had to sell 35 boxes, and she sold all of those in record time.
Of course you'd sell them all outside a marijuana dispensary. That's genius.
Smart girl.
And even the marijuana dispensary basically amplified her message. They were in full support of this. They ran a little deal of, like, if you bought cookies, you'd get a little percentage off the weed. And basically, Girl Scouts, they said they don't condone this, but it's not against any of the rules. So
clever.
It's basically cool by them. But is this fine, really?
Yeah, of course it's
yeah,
fine.
It's fine.
She's not the one smoking the weed.
Yeah.
She's allowed to.
Plus, I think
when people who are coming down from a high get the munchies, you've got to provide something. Because they'll eat blocks of wood if you don't.
Good on her.
Eat anything. Okay. Anything else we want to throw in there?
I've got a story, but I want to keep it for tomorrow because it's quite a long story.
Well, then why did you even tell us? That's so annoying because now we're going to wonder
yeah,
what it was.
I'll keep quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys hear about Kesha?
What? No, hang on. I want to ask you about something I saw on Twitter just now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure what it means. Apparently, Jumbo Cash and Carry are trending. Does anyone know why?
Oh, there's
the building's on fire.
The shop is on fire.
Massive.
Is it on Main Reef Road? I saw that as well.
Yeah, I think it is on Main Reef.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, close
honestly,
the M1.
It's like a massive macro on fire.
Well, it's a cash and carry store, so you can imagine they'll have everything in there from TVs and jewelry right the way through to old magazines and newspapers.
Shucks.
Rubbish. Wow, Jumbo Cash and Carry, so they're burning down, huh?
Yeah, so emergency services are currently battling the blaze.
Mm-hmm.
This is near the M1 highway in Crown Mines.
Jeez.
Firefighters say that the blaze broke out just before 5 a.m. And the smoke is also hampering visibility along the highway. So you've got that situation where cars are slowing down because they're like, ooh, what's happening? And then everybody doesn't move.
Oh, so annoying. I hate
but
that
no
when
word,
people rubberneck.
No word is yet as to how the fire started.
Blaze. You said it yourself just now. The rapper we had in here yesterday. His name is Blaze. He walked past. He lit something up. And now look.
Yes, it's a big fire, though. Hey, judging by these pictures.
Sounds like it. More like Jumbo Ash and Carry.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else want to throw anything in before we do this heartbeat thing? Explain to me what the heartbeat thing is all about, Flax.
So, I don't know the intrinsic details, but we're going to find out.
No, you don't know.
There's a new device out there, like a stethoscope that can now record your heartbeat.
Dr. Shamal Vinesh Ramasar will tell us. Graduated with her medical science degree from UKZN in 2004, then a Bachelor of Science degree with honors in 2007. This is someone who knows their stuff. A master's degree in medicine in 2009, a PhD in physiology in 2012. Currently, the Scientific Affairs and Education Manager at 3M Healthcare. Now, 3M are probably one of the most innovative companies in South Africa. These guys develop amazing stuff from the kind of two-sided tape that could suspend Kulubuse Zuma from the roof.
Ugh.
And that's
no,
quite...
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
They could. The 3M develop every kind of new innovation you could imagine and turn it into a product.
Now that says a lot.
No, it's tremendous. So we're going to speak to her. She's also in the infection prevention division, but this is apparently a machine that can read your heartbeat. We will find out who has the most healthy heartbeat among us.
Oh,
and hopefully we can... Hmm?
Oh, it's him. The doctor's a him.
Oh, the doctor's a him. Where is he?
Still on the way.
What, is he very small and he's running around under the table? I see two ladies sitting here and I don't see him, so I'm...
No,
I'm
now, guessing, now we're getting an update.
The I'm guessing he's under the floor. No. He's in the floorboards.
Yeah.
Where could he be hiding?
Sorry, so he has a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD.
He has two. No, hang on.
Oh, my God.
Medical science degree.
Yeah.
Bachelor of science, master's in medicine, PhD in physiology.
What now?
You know.
Talk about being overqualified.
Sure. What do you put as your title there?
Imagine how annoyed he is that fees didn't fall while he was studying.
Yes.
Imagine. He's still paying off all of those fees. Anyway, we'll speak to him in a short while, find out all about this heartbeat thing and how it works. This is your heartbeat, isn't that how it goes?
This is a heartbeat song, and why are we singing Kelly Clarkson in this early
in
the morning?
We should play it. It's a sign from Jesus.
Oh, really?
I think we need to play it.
I heard you reference Jesus yesterday when you were having a bad moment during the day. And I was like, it's really a bad day if you mentioned Jesus.
Nonsense. I'm very religious.
Amen to you too, brother.
How dare you? CliffCentral.com.